Now, one question nobody's ever answered because he didn't want to ask. So I do a song and dance on the table. That would be something that would be... Yes.
As you mentioned that the clause on the lip is not the masculine identity. Can you say a little bit more about training and what is masculine?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so what is masculine? What is training for men? Is Prabhupada then mentions that the principle and training that a boy is sense controlled and sensitive, and a girl is chaste and satisfied. These are the principles where they have to work. These are the natural weaknesses. Right? So if those are developed, then everything works very nicely. Because the tendency is the boy will just, you know, let his senses run wild and won't be sensitive to anything that he interacts with. That's pretty standard. When you think of, you know, you just your common boy, the reaction, that would explain it. Rough and ready, trying to get what he wants, couldn't care less what anybody else really thinks, especially women. Right? So that would mean that that's untrained. Right? It's not manifesting the proper, in other words, it's not personal. Or it's not very developed in where others would be considered in the equation. So then one has to develop that. So that sense control, that has to be there. To have sense control, then there must be respect. Because respect means sense control. Why would it be there? How would you know what it is? Unless it's coming from some authority. Right? How do you know how these senses are engaged unless it comes from authority? So one has to accept scripture. One has to accept, you know, the guru, sadhu, and shastra. You have to accept these authority. Then you need to be in a pure state. So therefore, cleanliness is very important, right? I mean, you think of the, you know, He-Man, he's pretty rough and ready. Not cleanliness is not very high on the list, right? You know, as long as you have a pair of jeans, you wipe your hands on the back, and hey, done, you know, like that. So then one has to be humble. Right? If you're proud, ignorance will increase the lack of ability to control or understand things. So then, that will then require something to create humility. Right? So that means, and humility, any qualities only gained through action. So there has to be activities that will generate humility. Right? That's not just... Thinking is there. One has to think. But until one feels, then the willing will not be there, right? So, therefore, out of the rules, one wants to follow the rules, one does it. Then with time, that contemplation that this is good will develop into realization. Does that make sense? So it's from one's position that the realization comes, right? It means, in other words, one's relationship with Krishna... Therefore, it will generate desire to do particular activities, which will result in Krishna's satisfaction and love for Krishna. Right? So the idea is that by contemplation of, you know, the position and the importance of something, then by acting with it, then it will generate the realization. Right? It means the prayojana will be gained through intelligence and action. Right? Just intelligence won't give, just action, it will be very, very slow. But if you combine the two, then very quickly it works. So then that must be there. Then naturally you have to have a form that you've gained from the shastra, some structure that identifies your position, so then you'll have all your different rules and regulations of brahmacharya, right? And yeah, so therefore through service, through humility, through respect, right, through knowledge, right, so they must study, then this sense control will happen and sensitivity will happen. Because otherwise it's due to ignorance that men are not sensitive. You know, they just think it's just the way it is. So it's just, you know, it's the field, it's there, the field is to be operated, and they are the one to operate it. Right? So that's the difficulty, is the awareness of the field. Right? Does that make sense? The man has to become aware of the field. The woman is the field, therefore she's already sensitive. But the problem is being satisfied. Because the field can be increased unlimitedly. There's no end to how big you can make the field. So if there's not some satisfaction, how will at any one point you be able to interact? You know what I'm saying? Because if you want to interact with something that you can complete, a man has to be able to feel he completes something. Though it's not that complete means it's done, means it has to be dynamic. If something's completed, then something more is to be completed. So he's going on always constantly completing something. But if the woman's not endeavoring to be satisfied, then as soon as that completion is there, the next thing is already there. So then the man, there's no satisfaction for himself because the woman's never satisfied. If the woman's satisfied, others can be satisfied. She's not satisfied, not possible. You know what I'm saying? That point will come. But the point is she's endeavoring to be satisfied. It's not that she's not going to think up a million other needs. But there has to be that moment of completion, right? That, because otherwise if it's not, as soon as he gets it, oh, this is great, now we can get this. It's kind of like, where was the conclusion? Right? So for the woman, she thinks emotionally it's been concluded, but it also, the form must be concluded. Right? So just like the man has to be sensitive to the needs of the woman, in that, then she also has to be, if by being practicing satisfaction, that will take care of the needs of the man. You know what I'm saying? In other words, she doesn't have to endeavor specifically for her interaction with the man, it's her own state of existence, because she's the field. You interact with the field. Right? In other words, the man's not the field, that the woman has to interact. This is a mistake. Is the man is thinking, you know, why this is not equal. Well, if you want to be field also, you know, if you want to be feminine, that the man's thinking, no, I'm a man, I'm doing so much, I'm sacrificing so much, like that, you know, so, you know, where's going on here? But then, so you want to be field? Right? You know what I'm saying? No, the woman's the field. Does that make sense? Like that. So this is that. This is taking a slightly, means in other words, we're looking at it from a different angle here. When we're taking it as field, meaning what is being engaged with, right? The field is not active. It gets the work done, but it's not the one that is making the work happen. You know what I'm saying? The field is there. Everything's going to happen in the field. And you have to do everything according to the field. But if you don't go out there and do something with the field, then nothing grows. Right? So you have to go plow, you have to weed, you have to plant, you have to, you know, harvest, water, you know, all these different things you have to do, protect. Then you get, so the field is doing everything, but it's a matter of the endeavor had to be made. Does that make sense? So that's where the equality. Man does his aspect, woman does hers. But if the man wants to be field, that means then he is being operated by the woman. But he's thinking, no, I'm just going to do nothing. Woman's going to do everything. It won't work. It can't work. It just doesn't function that way. Does that make sense? So that's a different, it's the same point, but we're looking at it a different thing when we're saying the man is the field, meaning that Shankarshan, he defines the identity. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's the sambandha, is a reflection in the of the spiritual world, where sambandha is your relationship with Krishna. Here it's based on ignorance that I am God. So therefore, the relation, identity here, ego, is based on ignorance. Does that make sense? So how do you say? So if, yeah, so the sambandha is the identity, right? You make the connection there? That's where the false ego comes in. So, or the ego, or whatever. So he creates the field. The woman then works within that. Therefore, she operates the field. But it's, he's created it. You know, just like he's created the facility, you know, by the plowing, by the watering, by the planting, by the weeding. Now the field can grow the crops. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of perspective. This is why many times the Vedas seem to be very contradictory, right? Because in a modern paradigm, we'll never do that. They'll take one thing that no matter which angle you look at it, it looks exactly the same, right? Isn't it? You take a European garden, no matter which side you look at it from, it's exactly the same garden, right? They like it like that. But the problem is it doesn't give the variety, it doesn't give the full explanation. Because if you're dealing with opposites attract, that means in one that the definitions are constantly switching depending upon how you're looking at it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that it's important to know what is the perspective you're looking at. Because none of this is contradictory. It's just different angles of looking at something that wasn't designed by the modern intelligence. You're dealing with something that's personal, therefore it has variety. It has contradiction, right? That's what makes the human position. There is contradiction. That's what makes it interesting, right? Otherwise, Krishna could have easily taken the position of a demigod, right? Less contradiction. But no, he took the position of human. You know what I'm saying? Because the contradiction makes the variety. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So then it works better. So the idea is that the knowledge of what is, in other words, knowledge and activity have to go together. So training of a brahmachari means they have to be developed in knowledge and in what are the principles that knowledge is functioning on. What is actually making it work, right? And then practical application. It's only through service that something gets done. That's why you see someone will advance very quickly in the beginning, because they will do menial service very happily, and then later on, as they figure that they're very advanced, they don't like to do anything. Then it slows down. Does that make sense? So it's not nothing changed. No, you just aren't applying the process so well, that's all. Right? Because the grihastha will have to be active. The more active he is, the better it works. Right? That's why a first-class brahmachari only will make a first-class grihastha. Because ignorance doesn't make the relationship work. You know what I'm saying? Ignorance is nothing happening. So then passion and goodness, something's going on. Passion is fruitive, so it will give pain. Goodness is not fruitive, therefore it won't give pain. So the better position is goodness. But if not, at least the inspiration will be passion. You know what I'm saying? But the difficulty is that if someone is so well situated in ignorance, then he doesn't have enough passion to get himself to do the activity that will purify him to get him to goodness. You know what I'm saying? That's why ignorance is never appreciated. Right? We always talk about ignorance, or ignorance and passion. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Is that okay? So that's the training of a brahmacharya. What is masculine? What is feminine? What's the position? How do you actually, what is the material and how do you deal with it? Who are you? What is your service? Who is God? So all the aspects of the sambandha jnana. But it has to be done in a personal way, then it works very nicely. Right? So the idea is just develop repulsion for the feminine position, that won't work so good because technically we're feminine as souls. So it's not a great paradigm to take, right? Otherwise, that's the impersonalist, right? He's the killer of the soul because he's inimical. He's envious of the soul, of himself. Right? So that's why we see is when those who take that position as brahmacharis and think it'll work good, it doesn't work good. Neither they remain brahmacharis, and neither does anyone around them appreciate what's going on. Not only that, it tends to flavor the environment that people have a tendency to avoid the brahmachari training. You know what I'm saying? It's like now it's popular. They're going to get married anyway, so why bother? Yeah, great. Okay, you're going to get hungry in 6 hours anyway, so why bother eating? Right? It's the same argument. So we see as we use the sleep one, eating one, they'll say, well, that's stupid. So then why is the other one any less stupid? Because the point is they're going to get married anyway, but if they're not a brahmachari, they're actually not going to be a grihastha. They're going to be a grihamedi. That's the default setting. Brahmacharis become grihastas. Those who are not brahmacharis don't become grihastas. Or, as grihastas, then they have to develop the qualities of the brahmachari so that they become grihastas. Right? In any case, without those qualities, you can't operate anything. You can't be any of the varnas or ashrams without the brahmachari foundation. Right? That's the point. Human life means you're doing that. One may say, oh, but the shudras don't go to the gurukul, so they don't get that training. But then you look at their position, right? They're already doing humble service. They're already working for someone else. So they don't have the knowledge, but they have the activity. Like that. You know, they have to work under authority, right? They have to work under a dvija, right? They're always, generally, what they're doing is cleaning, right? You know, they may not be clean, but they're engaged in cleaning, you know? Like that. They're doing menial service, right? They're having to respect others. They have to develop a skill, so then there's knowledge. It may not be transcendental knowledge, but at least there's knowledge. So they're doing skill, knowledge with a skill, so it gives realization. But it will not be as great as, it may be very a good realization in life, but we want to move from life into transcendental life. Therefore, the realization is good, but it could be more if we add transcendental knowledge. Does that make sense? So they're still in that position. Women are still in that position. They're in that position. Brahmacharis are in that position. Right? So this is how it works. The devotee's in that position, right? You know, menial servant. Is that work? So it's many times a very different approach. To that degree that these things are going on, you see there's that much success in developing a brahmachari ashram. To that degree that that's not there, it's not working. Does that make sense? So in other words, then you have brahmacharis that know, this is what I want to do. I want to be a brahmachari, remain a brahmachari, right? Or you have those who know, this is what I want to do because without becoming trained in brahmacharya properly, I'm not going to be successful in any aspect of life. So therefore you have, you know, all the brahmacharis are fully committed. This thing is where, you know, it's up and down the roller coaster and this and that and gritting your teeth and, you know, a woman walks in the room and you walk out of the, you know, all these kind of things. Nice sentiment, but that's not actually the brahmachari training. You know, the sentiment's good that they want to be, but the point is they have to know what you want to be. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you're doing a drama, if you don't know your lines and what your part is, how are you going to take part? How are you going to do it? You know what I'm saying? So you have to know what you're dealing with. Then it's everything's planned. I plan to stay like this the rest of my life, or I plan to stay like this for X amount of time. Then once I'm trained, then I'll move on to grihastha ashram. Or once I'm trained, then I'll just remain a brahmachari because I'm trained. Either way. So that's very different than just, you know, cleaners and collectors. You know what I'm saying? Both are important, but if that's all it is, then, you know, it should go a little further. Otherwise, if you look at it like this, let's just look at it from the economic point of view. Okay? Seeing that that's a very popular, what's called the bourgeois, you know, viewpoint. Now, what would be, which of the, I'll give two scenarios. Which would be the more beneficial, you know, overall? You have a brahmachari ashram, you train the brahmacharis so that in the training they get more, you know, more training in philosophy and the character, you know, in, you know, devotional skills and all that, which in the beginning may appear doesn't collect so much money. It collects a little less because a little less time is spent. But in the long run, then those brahmacharis become mature, right? Then by their potency and focus, they collect more money, right? They do more service around the temple and they're more committed. They stay because why would you want to go away from a place that's made you into such a nice devotee? Right? All facilities there. And those who would get married, then they would go outside, live with their wife, live basically the same kind of lifestyle and be very much involved with the temple activities. Right? But all this takes time. Right? Or, let's try another scenario. You just go in there and it's just, you know, go for it. You just go out and collect. No time for studying. None of this, you know, puffery. And all that, and just get down to the real business of getting money so we can maintain the temple. Why do you want to maintain the temple? So that we can keep people to collect money to maintain the temple. So, and then those persons, because they don't have all these things, these different devotional and personal needs are not met in the temple, then when they do decide to become a grihastha, they move out and you never see them again. So therefore you have 5 brahmacharis in the temple and 300 living outside doing nothing for the temple. Now, think about it. Which of the two scenarios, one, if one had any vision, and if one had any leadership abilities, which of the two would you pick? Yeah, the first one. And what did Prabhupada say our centers are supposed to be? Collection centers or educational centers? Collection you need, but if that's all it is, what's the use? Right? You have a fabulous looking temple with nobody in it. You know, it's like a museum or something. Like that. In fact, I think the Japanese have even taken it to a further step. They have temples that have robots there that do the rituals. You can come in, put in your money, push which button, which ritual you want. It will chant the mantras and do all the different things. Yeah, I'm not joking. You know, they have them. You know, like that. So, you know, pretty good. It's like that hotel. What's that hotel? You know, there's no people in it. It's just machinery. Like that. I know that's something you just go and there's nobody there. So then, does that make sense? Like that. So we see is without the brahmachari training, you don't have anything. In the earlier days, there would be more brahmachari training. Therefore, there were more people involved, even whether they were brahmacharis or grihasthas. Right? It's just very easy to look at. Right? Then one can say, yeah, but then there was so much emphasis on the brahmacharis and that everyone else was neglected. Then I would say, those weren't brahmacharis. Right? Does that make sense? Because the brahmachari is not repulsed by the material energy. Brahmachari doesn't have any need for it. There's a difference. Right? Let us say, So what would be the better, here another scenario, same thing, same kind of thing. Let us say you take 2 brahmacharis, right? And it is Ekadasi, right? And both of them are fasting. In fact, let's make them really staunch brahmacharis, they're doing nirjal, okay? But a lot of the temple, you know, them and a few other people are doing it, but most of the temple is not doing that. They're going to eat, take prasad, they're going to go out and do their services. Okay, now, both these brahmacharis are asked to serve prasadam. Right? Now, the first one, then, he is saying, well, no, I cannot serve prasad. Why should I serve prasad? Because I'm not eating. Right? Let the gross sense enjoyers who have no, you know, solid sadhana, let them serve those who are doing this. And I will do my sadhana and chant and do, you know, very valuable, you know, sadhanistic devotional activities, you know, like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, by the sense enjoyers, for the sense enjoyers, of the sense enjoyers, right? You know, like that. You know, it's very typical. And the other one, then he says, the second one, he's also fasting. He says, fine, I can serve, because he has no need for eating, because he's committed to his fast. So dealing with food doesn't bother him. So he serves prasad very nicely. And everyone's satisfied. Well, if the first one had to serve prasad, he would serve it very quickly and badly and roughly and you know, just think, why am I doing this? So which of these two would be better? Which would you consider is the better brahmachari? The one with the service attitude that doesn't mind dealing with the objects of the senses because he has no need for them. There's no need, if nobody asks him to serve prasad, he's not looking for it. He's not looking to be around the prasad just because he'd like to eat it, but then he won't. And, no, he just goes, sits down, chants, and doesn't think about food at all. That's a brahmachari. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I say, if they say, well, no, so much emphasis on brahmachari sannyasa, and therefore the society is in the mess that it's in because the grihastha ashram wasn't developed, I say those weren't brahmacharis and sannyasis. They may have wanted to be and had the sentiment to be and made the endeavor to, so that's glorious. But actually, as far as the culture went, it didn't make it. Otherwise, why would anybody be disturbed? Right? In India, everyone likes brahmacharis. So why is it we don't like them? Right? Yeah, something's wrong. Now you can say, yeah, it's the brahmacharis' fault, but then brahmacharis are kids. They're new people, right? In the Vedic culture, until you're married, you're a kid. You're a boy, you know, like that. You know, so, you know what I'm saying? So, therefore, then, whose fault is it? It's the leadership. Can't blame the brahmacharis. Right? Isn't it? Like that. So, therefore, it's necessary to understand what is there and what's the need. Then it will work properly. Right? Does that make sense? So the culture is something very important and very technical. And it's not just something that the maverick is just going to figure it out. You know, the wimpy guy that can't do anything and everything like that. And then, you know, the terrorists capture his mother, or the gundas capture his mother, and then bang, out comes, you know, Rambo, and, you know, destroys battalions, you know, and does this and that, and then catches his mother and comes back, and everything's fine, like that, you know. So it works great in the movies, right? It works great in the movies. You only got 2 hours, you got to make some money, so people have to be interested, right? You have to catch attention. So this guy changes from, you know, mouse to lion, you know, just because of the emotion, just because he wants to. So it's an important element. If you don't want to, it's not going to happen. But it does generally take a little bit of training. It's a little bit of practice. Okay, if you can do that, that's great. But your common man, it probably isn't a reality. So therefore, if you hear one or two things in a class, go out and try to do them, and on the spot they don't work, then you reject it, that it's useless. That's not a very progressive mentality. You know what I'm saying? It's not very progressive. But, of course, it's the modern ideal, but, of course, who's that modern ideal meant for? Right? For the masses. It keeps the masses going. Because the people who are running the show took a long time and endeavor to get themselves in the position they're in. Right? And people who are actually running the society, it took them a while to get there. Right? Through knowledge, through training, through association, through respect, through taking that humble position, all that. You understand? That's why they're successful. And this other, you know, maverick, you know, he'll just, you know, just do the weird thing. It's great. It does happen. But you have to be able to give that to someone else. So the person who can do it, great. Then teach the others. But it's not going to just expect everyone else is going to do exactly the same thing. Yeah, sensitivity that needs to be, because sensitivity will mean that it's needs to, sensitivity means sensitivity to others, right? The woman is already sensitive, but sensitive to herself. So therefore, if the man is sensitive to others, then her being sensitive to him, herself, and him being sensitive to her needs, it makes it work. But if he's sensitive to his needs, and she's sensitive to hers, it won't work. Or if he's not sensitive at all, and she's sensitive to her needs, then even more rough. Understand? So that's the point. The masculine position means, is the one who does the service, is the action and all that. If that's done, women being dependent will follow that. You know, so this idea that independent means I do nothing is a concept in the mode of ignorance. It's not reality. Right? If Krishna said, if I did nothing, then this world would not be maintained. So that means he's always active. And what is this world? It's feminine. So that means his interaction is constant. You know what I'm saying? So that's why the mode of ignorance can't be allowed. Because everything in the universe is maintained by action, right? Maintenance is the action part. You create, that's one thing. You know, you destroy, but maintenance, that's the more difficult, because that is relationship, right? I don't really need a relationship much to create it. There has to be something I have to know. There's not much of a relationship to destroy it, but to maintain it, the relationship has to be very developed. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, yeah. So that's, yeah. Okay? So this ability and that maintenance, that's the mode of goodness. Like that. So that's what we're trying to create. You do that, it works. Because why do something that work in the short term? If it's emergency, you do what needs to be done. But why would you run on emergency all the time? You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Is that okay? Something else? Nothing else.
I'm just thinking that.
You're just thinking.
You were discussing that point of the collection and that all going on.
Uh-huh.
When someone becomes a grihastha, they just do the same thing.
But now they collect not for the temple.
So
they go out and take all the temple spots.
And then people in the temple complain about them.
Then they make some bureaucratic decision about it, and then they alienate them even more.
Yeah.
And they're going to go about and do it anyway because they got to get the money.
Yeah.
And so then you end up with the temple and the congregation, and they fight rather than the congregation being the temple. You know what I'm saying?
You created a monster and trying to kill it as well.
You create a monster and you try to kill it, but you can't kill the monster. Because the monster says behind every great man is a woman, so they've got women behind them. It'll be very hard to get rid of. You understand? Very, very hard. So that's why we make the point of vision and leadership, Because one has it, one can see it. It's obvious. One can't say, well, that's now. What about, you can look at it over 30 years. Right? And then you can see patterns. So now it's a matter of now, how do you want to go about it? Okay, been there, done that. It's been done. Let's move forward. You know, what does it take to put a little more training into the brahmachari's life? You know what I'm saying?
And even just the attitude of how the dealings go, now that that's happened, taking the right move towards adjusting
that. Yeah. You take the right attitude, everyone will come around. It'll take time, but they'll come around. It's just a matter of time. That's the point, is human beings are human beings, so if you deal with them as such, they always respond. They may be a little doubtful or anything in the beginning, but it doesn't mean that if you keep at it, they won't respond. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
So what would it take now to reverse that in terms of dealing with that?
Just what we said.
Educating.
Yeah, education and that. They still have to do practical service, because we said education without practical service doesn't give realization. Like that. You'll get some knowledge, but you won't get realization. So, therefore, the service and all that has to continue. But if you increase the knowledge and the character, then your results will increase. So, therefore, you'll get more in less time. You know what I'm saying? And it will be sustainable. And everyone talks about sustainable, you know, this and sustainable that. So, a 3-year... 2 to 3 year cycle on, you know, all your temple devotees, you can't really call that sustainable. Right? And you have people, see, it's like, you have these people, people were into philosophy and culture and literature and exotic things and all that, you know. Up to, you know, it was popular, 20s up to the 30s. In the 40s, somehow or another, it became destroyed. Right? Then the 50s culture was generally just enjoy yourself. Right? So all these subtleties went out. 60s, they tried to come back in again, but it wasn't considered the mainstream. Right? So anything occult or anything subtle or anything like that was considered very strange. But this New Age concept, this is from the 30s. People were already into that before. Does that make sense? You know? So that was already there. People were doing stuff like this. But now it's become, you know, more mainstream rather than avant-garde, right? And having been mainstream, that means your common person has already heard about karma and this and vegetarian and philosophy and, you know, voidism and impersonalism and all this kind of stuff. You know, they're dabbling in astrology and astronomy and psychology and, you know, all kinds of, you know, strange and wonderful things. Right? So now if we come out with our just straight, normal preaching that worked for us, you know, years ago, it may not work today because you're saying stuff that they already know. You tell people now you're not this body, you're the soul, and you know all this. Many people already know that. In fact, they're probably Buddhists. You know what I'm saying? So your common person, especially more intellectual, has already heard all this. So you're not dealing with a class of people that what we're saying is so exotic for them. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, they want to see the application, the cultural implications of this. And if you can give that to them, then you will attract such a person's attention. You can't give it to them, they'll go somewhere else. Right? In other words, they get something from one place and not something from another place, like this, they'll go around. A little bit of the culture here, a little bit of there, a little something this, a little something that. But we could give everything in one package. You know, the going back to Godhead package, you know, it's like it's, you know, complete, you know, travel, fooding, lodging, you know, everything, it's all in one. We take care of everything, right?
Music, dance,
huh?
Music, dance.
Yeah, music, dance, everything. But the point is that if that's not seen as important. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, what do we have culturally to offer? Right? Because the devotees, many of the devotees, their prominent driving paradigm is just to fit in. So why are you going to go to your neighbor for something special? You know what I'm saying? Isn't it? You can be friendly with your neighbor, but you don't respect them for something special. Right? A leader doesn't fit in. There's one leader, and there's, you know, so many hundreds or thousands or millions of people. Right? So, how does the leader fit in? The leader fits in by being able to guide those who follow in such a way that what he tells them is useful in their life and they're satisfied. So this idea we have to fit in, it's like, who said we have to fit in? What do you mean, fit in? We're supposed to set the standards and lead what everybody else is supposed to fit into. That's preaching. Just to blend into the wall, that's called a chameleon. You know what I'm saying? You know? And lizards don't have a very high status, you know, either socially or even on the food chain. You know what I'm saying? It's not a great position to be in. We stand out. We're obvious. We're different. Yes, because we have something different to give you. You just fit in. What do you have to offer that I don't have? But if they come and take a close look, what do we have to offer culturally? Nothing, because we just fit it in. So we're just as bad as they are culturally. Yeah? They don't know how to cook. We don't know how to cook. They don't know how to dress. We don't know how to dress. They don't know how to talk. We don't know how to talk. Right? They don't know how to make their marriages work. We don't either. You know, they make they're neurotic. Their kids are neurotic. So are ours. So what are they going to get from us? Great philosophy. Right? There's no one on the planet that won't agree that we got great philosophy. You know what I'm saying? But as far as culture, what do we have to offer? Because philosophy has to be applied. Where is it applied? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so the base is that proper brahmacharya training is the basis of human culture. Right? If it wasn't, why is it the first thing that anybody does? Right? Before Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, before Sannyas, Vanaprastha, Grihastha, you have to be a brahmachari. Then you can move from brahmacharya to Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. Then only as a grihastha can you take up, you know, the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra position. So brahmacharya is first. Then we should start a campaign. Brahmacharya now! Right? You know, like that, right? Does that make sense? Because when that's there, then it all works. If it's not there, it can't work. It won't work. Someone who doesn't know what a human relation is, how is he going to function in it? Right? So it's very, very simple. So that's why brahmachari training is so important. I mean, there's one yatra that emphasizes brahmachari training. Right? One only that I know of. They have a very systematic, formalized program. Right? And they have 100 of them. Right? And interesting enough, along with that 100, you know, good, solid brahmacharis, you know, no one would say they're not brahmacharis. They're good brahmacharis. They have 5,000 in a community, as a congregation, who basically do everything for their temple. All the finances, all the administration, everything. The brahmacharis just do the deity worship, take care of the brahmacharis, and preach. That's it. They don't have to deal with the finances, like nothing. It's So then if one is going, yeah, but you know, what if it doesn't work? There it's working. Oh, but it's a different age. No, what do you mean? This is in a modern city, one of the biggest cities in the world. You know what I'm saying? Guaranteed, every other temple president, unless they're from, let's say, London or New York or Los Angeles, or maybe Mexico City, you know, that this temple has more people, I mean, this city has more people in it than they can imagine. Right? And it's as modern as you can get. So therefore, that would cut out any opposition that any temple president could come up with. That the idea of training your brahmacharis not only makes a great temple, it makes a great community. Does that make sense? You know, because the training is there, the character is there, the culture is there, therefore people want to follow it. Philosophy is great, but what do you do when you're, you know, having to work and deal with your family and do all those different things and balance it, all that? You need a culture to do that. Your philosophy is the foundation, but you have to apply it, and that's your culture. Is that okay? Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. Now I get it. Now, that's why you never asked questions earlier, because it wasn't 2 minutes before the end. Okay, yes, go for it. It's your time.
About Pradyumna, Nirukha, and all these principles, and if time allows, maybe you can speak more elaborate what it is, actually, because...
What it is means?
How, you know, what are these principles, why you always, you know, put, you know, what to say...
Why do we always refer to them?
You use this, yeah, you refer to them all this.
I see. No, that wouldn't fit into a 2 minute discussion. You know, okay, now it's 1 minute, 5 seconds for the question also. It had to be included. No, the point is that Krishna, everything is Krishna, right? Krishna Satchitananda, right? So that means everything is either it's spiritual, made of Satchitananda, and in here is made of its reflection, right? Ignorance, passion, and goodness, right? So then that would then mean that principles of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, right, would function for everything. And then finer principles of this are then Shankarshan, Prajumna, Aruda, and Vasudeva. In other words, you have one, which is God, but that includes him and his energy, but it's not manifest. He manifests that you have two, right? Then he interacts with it, then you have three, right? But to interact with it means you have to have a field of action, therefore you get four. So that's why everything can go back to that. And so you can move between the one, the two, the three, and the four very comfortably. Right? And then, yeah. Then you want to define within that the mentalities like that, then you get the five. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. So then you're making that kind of divisions. Okay?
This five.
You might know them. They're quite famous. They're known as Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Advaita Gadadhar, and Srivas. Because you have the Lord and his energy. But the Lord, there's three different manifestations. Right? That of the enjoyer, you know, the original, that of the servitor Godhead, and that of the, you know, creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Right? And then of energy, then you have you have the internal energy, and then you have the tatasta. External is a shadow, so it doesn't need to be mentioned. Right? I don't have to say, you know, you and your shadow. You know, it goes with you. So it's like, does that okay? Okay, we can explain more. If you don't mind using the first 2 minutes, then you can ask this and we can explain it in more detail. But, you know, otherwise, the last 2 minutes you ask, you know, a shorter thing. Okay? We'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.